the one play from last night that bothered me the most, and you know I've been a Brian Daboll believer and supporter here, I don't understand how on fourth and goal from the 3-yard line, down 14-9, you are kicking another field goal. That is a spot, and I am conservative by nature, very conservative. I like the way Daboll generally calls a game. Take the points, only points on the board. That is a spot, if you've watched the first half of that game, to me, you had to be aggressive and try scoring a freaking touchdown for a change.
All right, so let me ask you this. You say if you watch the game, you've got to go for it. Yes. As we watch the game, could the Giants get more than 1 yard on the ground?
Yeah,
the answer is no.
Well, why not throw it then?
Well, I'm going to ask you, so what did you want Daboll to do from the three? They couldn't run it, and Daniel Jones is not Mahomes or a superstar. Yeah. What are we doing there?
Well, have Daniel Jones roll out, something like that, or read option with Daniel Jones. And by the way, if you don't get it, great, you pin Dallas back, and then you go have your big bad defense go. But just for me at that spot, you're acknowledging that you can't score. So you're just not good enough. Oh, we'll take the field goal again. What are you going to kick, 15 field goals to beat Dallas? I mean, the whole Giants game plan was to keep the ball away from Dallas, which they did very well. Drive the football. Guess what? Driving the football only works if you finish by putting it in the end zone once or twice. So that spot, as close as they're going to get,
yep.
I just thought a very, very conservative, to a fault call from Brian Daboll.
I really disagree. I really do. Everything that Daboll did last night, when he went for it, I'm sitting there saying before it happened, go for it. When they took the three there in that spot, 8 minutes ago, third quarter, I said, take the three. There's a big difference, Al, between playing scared and being strategic. Mm-hmm. And you've got to react to the game that's in front of you. Now, if you told me yesterday, hey, listen, we're going to get to the third quarter. Giants going to be down 5. They're going to be at the 3, getting ready to punch it in Dallas. You know, take the lead. Place going bonkers. Conceptually, not knowing the framework mm-hmm. of the game at that point, I would say, go for it. There was 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Both teams had accounted for 23 total points.
Right.
I need points. Points matter at that juncture. I totally disagree. I think Daboll did the right thing.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. Did you think Dallas wasn't going to score again?
But they scored 6 more points in over the next 23 minutes. Yeah. So they didn't.
Well, no, but they did.
No, they scored 6 points.
And at that point, they already had 2 touchdowns on the board. So this is the third quarter, early in the third quarter.
8 minutes
and
to go, midway through.
Everybody in their seats at that stadium last night, that was one of them. I can guarantee you this, they knew Dallas was going to score again. Now, to what extent? Who knows? But the Cowboys offense is a threat every single time they have the ball. It may not be as good as it once was. They're a threat. You're not going to beat them by kicking field goals. That was proof last night. Dallas didn't score as many points as they usually do. The Giants kept the ball away from them, drove the football down the field. Without scoring touchdowns, you're not beating them. By the way, even if they scored a touchdown, they might not have won. But think of all the possibilities, even if you don't get it. A, you go for it, you get it, you score a touchdown, now you have the lead. B, you don't get it, and they are pinned all the way back.
Yep.
And at worst, you're thinking you could field position again to be in a spot where you could either drive the ball and score a touchdown this time or just kick the field goal that you would have had.
Mm-hmm.
And time comes off the clock.
There's another option that you conveniently leave out, choice 3 or choice C. You kick the field goal, Dallas gets the ball, you stop him, you kick another field goal, you win the game.
Right.
I mean, that's what he's thinking at that point.
Yeah, with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, that's my point. Like, if it were 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and I'd still have a problem with that, but at least you can say,
I think I would have much more of an issue with that.
Right, but with more time to go, Dallas is going
to score. You got
to
read the game, Sal. Yeah. Sal,
I was reading the game.
No, I'm saying from a coaching perspective, you've got to react to the game in front of you, not the game that you necessarily thought might unfold before you came out of the tunnel. Hey, if this thing's 35-31 or, you know, some shootout, 30-27, 3's not cutting it. It's 4. I got it. 14-9 in the third quarter. Dallas wasn't doing a whole lot. Again, you disagree. I would have taken the 3. I had no problem with it. So,
well, they did.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. And they
also took the L.
Okay, and they took the loss, and if they could catch the football, they would have walked out with a win. Now, there's a lot of other layers here, so this is why it's hard to dissect and attach, like, definitive either anger or disagreement, whatever it might be, to certain coaching moves. So you think he did the wrong thing in that spot. I think he did the right thing. Guess what? If Darius Slayton and even neighbors at certain spots do their job, he wins.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. They lost the game, so I can't just say if somebody caught a ball, they'd win. They'd have a better chance. If Daniel Jones could actually throw a football with some accuracy or make a proper read of the defense and make a good throw, then maybe they'd be in a better spot to win. Same thing. But all we heard was going into the game, well, Dallas can't stop the run. Dallas can't stop the run. Well, how'd that work out? Maybe it was more about Kamara and Henry and Lamar Jackson than it was. I was disappointed Daniel Jones didn't run it well enough.
Yeah, I thought he was going to run a little bit more. But that's a very different thing. I mean,
well, there are many reasons for why they lost.
There are. And by the way, and the last thing that we'll do, unless it's just so late in the game and so egregious, you can't help but lead a show with it. At first drive by the Giants, you want to talk about really just something that's reprehensible, like in terms of just the competitive spirit of the game. That 15-yard face mask penalty, that's the phantom call of the year. Now, maybe the Giants still wind up with the 3 points that they did, but my God, oh, Mike, not only did they miss it, but the other guy on Dallas actually did it to Bellinger. So, and then when Dallas scored the first touchdown, they throw the flag, then they pick it up. No, we're good. I thought the referees were awful. You and I disagree on Dable. Bottom line is this. Listen, I told Sal yesterday, I said, Sal, you got to close the gap. I mean, this is not, it's enough with the varsity, the JV, getting whacked 89-17, two games, losing 12 out of 13, whatever, being owned by Dallas, being owned by Philly. Ironically, the Giants, like as I scripted this out yesterday, I said the Giants would lose a tight one.
Right.
I said 24-20 Dallas.
Right.
I thought that it would be a four-quarter game. All of those things actually happened. But I don't feel good about the Giants.
Well, you also thought the Giants would run the football on them, and Cowboys weren't that good.
No, understood. But I'm talking. But the end result, I thought the Giants would be there.
And not for a missed field goal, wouldn't have been a cover. Like the game to me.
No, but hold on a second. Yeah. The difference is this, though. As much as I feel, you know, as much as some of the things happen, I don't really feel good about the Giants necessarily, even though I'm defending Dable. The reason why the Giants were able to hang around is because Dallas isn't very good. That's got to be said. Book it. Dallas is going nowhere. Anybody who thinks Dallas is good, I mean, I don't know if they know football.
But
Dallas
still,
is not good.
They're still significantly better than the Giants.
Significantly. I don't know about significantly.
Meaning that even in
they're
a game,
better. It's all that matters.
Even in a game. Well, I mean, so let's see how the season plays out. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and say Dallas isn't going anywhere. They have a quarterback. They have a coach that won a Super Bowl. Now, are they banged up on defense? I don't know. Was it an overly impressive game? No, but I still did see CeeDee Lamb make some plays like I expected him to make. And if not for the Giants and smartly shortening the game by driving the football and keeping away, Dallas to me would have had a lot more points on the board. Also, I don't think the game was as competitive as the score says. I never truly felt like the Giants were going to win that game.
I thought they had a chance. Yeah. I really thought that toward the end. I'm like, hey, Dallas doesn't look very good. They haven't run away. How many times in the NFL have we seen the score any sports out where you let the inferior team, and Giants are certainly inferior. Yeah. I'm not going to quibble at that. The gap, who knows? We'll find out the rest of the year. I think it may have narrowed a bit, not because Giants are getting better, but because Dallas is getting worse. But generally, the old saying is you let an inferior team hang around, generally, you're going to get clipped there. And there was enough. Now, it was far from perfect, obviously. Yeah. They couldn't run, as we know. Daniel Jones missed two or three shots downfield. Big problem there. A couple of drops, we know. But I actually thought that the way the Cowboys were reeling a bit, I really thought the Giants were going to find a way to steal this one late.
I like what you said about even though it was close, what you wanted to see yesterday, you still came away disappointed. For me, it's got to be about the result at some point. It can't just be, hey! Whoa, we closed the gap. Look, we didn't. Hey, Dad, it wasn't 40-0. It wasn't 40-0. We only lost by 5. That game was a very winnable game.
Yeah, you can't say that in year 3.
Exactly.
You can say that in year 1.
And it's not just because Dable was coaching scared at that particular moment, in my opinion. Not just because of the drops, which were pathetic. It's not just because Daniel Jones can't read a defense or make a proper throw or an accurate throw. Not because the defense didn't do enough. It's all of it. They just aren't good enough. And at some point, you've got to be held to a standard of higher expectations and higher results. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Caesar is calling from Dallas, Texas. What's up, Caesar?
Oh, man, what a miserable day. What a miserable game. There needs to be an investigation on the officiating in that first quarter, but let's leave all that to the side. I'm totally with you, Sal, and I've called this radio station multiple times and defended Daniel Jones on the biggest play to Neighbors. A better throw, he beats that safety for a touchdown. He is wide open. and he puts way too much air onto that ball because he's scared to zip it. On his deep throws, he is non-competitive. Secondaries are not worried about getting beat deep. And if you want to say Dable should be taking the point and kicking three, BC, then he should have done it at the end of the game. Because the second-to-last drive, if he kicks the field goal that drive, we get the ball back with 30 seconds. Another field goal wins the game.
Yeah,
I mean, so you went the whole freaking game with kicking field goals, and then you couldn't stick with it at the end. And then it ended up biting us right in the ass.
Yeah.
And that freaking timeout that he wasted in the second half, not knowing what play to call, is inexcusable. This is 3 years. They can't beat the Cowboys. Dable was satisfied with that game staying close, whether we won it or not. He didn't coach that game to win. He hasn't done it since year one. I'm tired. These second halves in games, if you look at the last two seasons, the way the seasons have started, he has done a terrible job at coaching. He had one half in Arizona and squeaked out a win last year.
All right, Caesar, hold on. So let me ask you a question
here. I hung up on him.
How many Giants, okay, let's just stick to offense right now, would start on legitimate playoff teams?
I mean, we're not talking about offensive line.
Talk about whatever you want. I'll give you a couple. What is Andrew Thomas?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously
Runyon,
Neighbors.
Runyon. And Neighbors. And that's it.
Oh.
So what do you guys expect?
Yeah, well, they're not good enough. I mean, that's the problem all the way around. I think the focal point is the roster. Like, to me, it should be about... We shouldn't be seeing Darius Slayton if Jalin Hyatt was a productive player. Clearly, that's a bust of a pick.
Yeah.
And Slayton can't catch the football.
That's a great throw, by the way.
Which I'm pretty sure... Like, I don't know. Hoff, maybe you could check on this for me or Dove. I think... And again, I could be mistaken because, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not watching a film like Baldy. Pretty sure the primary job of a wide receiver is to catch the football. Like, I know they got to block and run proper routes, but if you can't catch a football, you shouldn't be a wide receiver. And Slayton missing drops that you just, it's unacceptable.
He wasn't the only one.
Yeah, no, I know he was too. And by the way, Jones stinks too. So there are many layers to it. It's hard to get everything in 10, 13 minutes, whatever it may be. But it's the culmination of a team that isn't good enough, so much so that this is a team, the Dallas Cowboys, that could have been beaten at home if you played a better football game, even by a little bit. You could have beaten Dallas, and they didn't. And they're just not there.
Listen, Sal, you could see them inching along here. I mean, for the most part, Daniel Jones, the offensive line, did a good job in terms of pass protection. I mean, think about the previous years. I mean, hike, and he's in the he's scrambling. He's going backwards. So that's been stabilized a bit. I don't disagree. Like, there's the big picture, then there's the small stuff, or, you know, not small, but smaller from the game. And, you know, I don't love the direction of this Giants team. That's why I'm not sure about Shane, and that's why I've said what I've said about Dable. But I think last night he was aggressive when he needed to be. Listen, we disagree. I mean, you take the 3 points.
Where was he aggressive?
Going forward multiple times on fourth down.
Yeah, I mean, but I felt
and
like
they connected every time.
I felt like those were, like, it was never even a thought to me. It wasn't like,
all right, well, what about last week when they're down 7-0 on their own side of the field?
Yeah,
with
I thought that was with
Neighbors.
I would define that as aggressive.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I mean, it's subjective, clearly. There's no scoreboard that says this is 92% aggressive. I don't know. But when I'm watching the game and it's fourth and something, you're going for it, I generally like it. And you, especially in the modern NFL, although points are down this year, so maybe you're adjusting to that, you know, I am a proponent, a believer in you got to get seven, man. You're not going to win much if you just keep kicking field goals. But it was 14-9 after 37 or 38 minutes of football combining both teams. I'm taking the three there, and I'm trusting my defense isn't going to give up a whole lot more the rest of the way, which, by the way, they didn't. They gave up six more points the rest of the way. So, I mean, it could have broken their way. It didn't. I cannot crush him for taking the throw. I will not do that.
Alex is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Al. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just really quick, I've always been kind of the guy who never really expects much from Daniel. I know there were a few throws that he could not just make. I mean, especially with the long ball. I know the pass that he threw to Slayton towards the end, even though it wasn't thrown perfectly, that's a catch that you got to make, man. And I can't talk about how many times Slayton has cost us either a game or just a big catch. And one last thing, guys, I got to talk about Deontay Banks. And to me, he is not a number one cornerback until you can prove it to me, because every single week that this guy has been covering a number one receiver, he is getting burned. And he is killing us with the slant routes, everything above. You know, it's a game that we needed, obviously, but I'm not going to really feel a whole lot down because, granted, it's a game we should have won, but there are some positives to it. But like I said, hopefully moving forward is something that we can build on. And I like the fact that the O-line is kind of stepping up and is at least giving Daniel a chance to make some kind of plays. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Alex. Banks is an interesting one because he was terrific a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, well, what's changed? How does a cornerback who showed so much promise last year all of a sudden look like he's regressed this year so far through 4 weeks?
And that's a different defensive coordinator.
That's the obvious one. It's a different defensive system. So maybe Bowen needs to figure out a way to maximize Banks. I don't know the answers to that. We could ask Jonathan Casillas when we have him on next week. But we knew the Giants didn't have Drew Phillips, which hurt them yesterday. But Banks himself individually has not been the same. I would assume what you said, BT, that it's got to be something to do with a different scheme. Maybe he's learning it, whatever. But
sure,
he has not been the same player.
I also think that they're coaching around some big deficiencies on the third level. And I don't think that that's easy. Listen, I think that when you say, you know, he's a number one corner, well, you could be the number one corner on your team and not really be a legitimate number one corner. To say that, just like you could have on an average team, the opening day pitcher isn't necessarily an ace. He might be your opening day pitcher, but it doesn't mean that he's an ace. So I like Banks. He's definitely regressed a bit, but he's not alone.
Bob is in Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. You guys are fantastic. I'm just very, disappointed because watching the Giants is just, lately the last several years, it's just really pathetic. But the officiating, with all the modern technology that we have, how come, they don't have the capacity to review that call, the face mask call, which costs the Giants 15 yards when they should have.
They do. This is the thing about the NFL that drives you nuts. Now, I know that they've leaned on, to kind of accelerate the process a bit. The refs have, with the communication. So it's a little new. But, I mean, to me, the simple thing is this. You have one person assigned, whatever name you want to come up with. And if there's such a call like that. Now, I don't mean where it's like 50-50 and the guy upstairs says, well, my interpretation wasn't past 5 yards. He was handsy. No, that you can't start doing. But when there's a call specific, face mask, 15-yard penalty, and you don't even touch the mask, somebody's got to pop in and say, whoa, we messed up. That doesn't count.
Yeah,
it's so unfair.
Now, the problem is then should everything be reviewable?
No,
that's why I hate replay to begin with, because the whole point of replay is to get the calls right. Okay? But even with replay, the calls aren't gotten right. You see it every week. That's why, for me, I basically have a no-fly rule with this. Like, I'm not going to complain about the officiating. The officiating can be horrible at times and cost you, and we all understand that, but it's not the primary reason. You got to work around it because that's a given. The one given in the NFL is that the officials are going to suck the majority of the time, even with replay. Some of the blatant stuff, scoring plays, turnovers, all that, you're going to get that right, you hope, based on the replay. But those other calls, BT, nothing you can do about it. Officiating is horrible. Look at Sunday night. The Chiefs get the benefit of the whistle. Like, it is what it is. Unfortunately, you got to work around that. We'll get to more of your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Shout out to Jimmy from MetLife, who helped me get in the stadium a lot quicker. You recognize, hey, Sal, love the show, BT and Sal. Get me in there so I don't have to wait on the lines as much, which was nice. Got in my seat, plenty of time. Hung out with Frank the Chef, who, by the way, Frank from Rails, he invited us with Casillas. He wants to...
Oh, with Casillas now?
Yeah, we got to make that happen.
Okay.
I think Casillas would be down for that. We'll take Casillas.
That's awesome.
We can make it like we're treating Casillas, but really Frank...
So now this turned in from taking the wives to just BT, Sal, and Casillas.
Well, and Hoff, yeah. And
well,
Hoff
of course, Hoff, too. So just boys night out.
I mean, I guess we could do the wives, too.
I'll do a boys night.
Now it's tough, right? He owes you. Anyway, so it was nice. Now, the one thing from there... That I learned that, and maybe this is my fault for not having a better understanding of where Giants fans' mentality was at.
Yeah.
There was overwhelming negativity where I'm looking at the Giants, and this is what I'm talking about before the result of the game.
Okay.
I'm looking at the Giants in a certainly much better spot than they've been in a long time. I believe in Dable. We've gone over that. You're starting to see some pieces in place to where this team could maybe be starting to come out the other. Like, yes, they need a quarterback, Shane undetermined, whatever. But I feel, all right, at least they're in the right direction. And I would think that going into last night's game, most Giant fans would be at least somewhat hopeful that they might have a chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was, I felt, at least in my section, negativity, and by the way, there are a ton of Cowboys fans, as you know.
You knew
like,
that.
I didn't realize how ridiculous that is. overwhelming just negativity and expecting the worst, as if Giant fans were, you know, Jet fans or Met fans or whatever. That's the feel that I was getting now from the Giants.
Giant fans are pissed, and they should be. I mean, this proud franchise has petered out and sputtered into borderline irrelevance. I mean, really.
But think of all the success that they've had.
I understand, but you know what? With success comes expectations. And, you know, it's different for the Jets fan versus the Giants. Not that the Jet fan doesn't want to win this year, but we've never won, so at least in many of our lifetimes, so it's different. Giant fans are not easily placated, you know, as same with, you know, the Yankee-Met thing.
Right.
Yankees want a championship. Mets want a championship as well. But it's the assumption or the belief, maybe assumption strong, but it's the a little bit of an expectation. Hey, our bar is here. We don't care about the other bars. And if we don't meet our bar, it's either apathy, which I think seeped into the Giants fan base for a while, or just straight up being pissed, which I think where they are now.
It was just
most of them.
It was weird for me because, like, I've never seen that with the Yankees. And to the Yankees' credit, they've never really been down for an extended period the way that the Giants have been. But for a fan, if you're going to the game, in a game where the Giants were, like, to your point, competitive in this game. Like, there was one guy who's yelling, brick by brick, like mocking the Giants because they were driving the football. And he's yelling, brick by, just kick the field goal now. Why wait? Just kick the field goal now. This, like, in the beginning of a drive. And I'm like, wow, that is overwhelming negativity. And
yep.
He wasn't alone. Walking out, people were like, ah. I'm like, ah, it was a good, you know, close game, whatever. Nah, they can't beat it. Like, I was actually surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised that a storied franchise like that, a proud fan base, I get not accepting anything less than, but right now, I don't think it's the time to be overwhelmingly negative.
I think it's changed, Sal. Number one, as the older fans age out a little bit, you know, I think that passion dissipates. Not that they don't love their team, but that outward energy, you know, it just dissipates a little bit just through the aging process. It peters out a bit, and I think some of the... Look at Marash. I mean, he came in with a bag on his head the other day.
Right.
I mean, how many Giant fans have been, you know, calling us and even people around the studios and on social media, hey, Tank, get that top pick.
Yeah.
Like, the energy's definitely changed, but I don't think last night was the start of it. I think it's actually been that way for a while.
Gino is calling from South Plainfield. What's up, Gino?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say this. Everybody's talking about the rushing game last night. It's easy to stop the rush when you have no fear of a quarterback throwing over 10 yards. Daniel Jones is 2 of 14 for anything beyond 20 yards. And I got to say this. I know you're a believer in Dable. I'm not. I think he's liable for this. You have two better quarterbacks than Daniel Jones on the roster already.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Daniel Jones is absolute garbage.
Okay.
I have bought tickets for this team. I have bought apparel for this team. I'm tired of watching Coach Ozempic ruin my franchise. Get him the hell out of here.
Well, he's going to be gone soon. But, to say that he's better than DeVito, I mean, you have your opinion, obviously. Daniel Jones, no matter what anybody says, is the best option for the Giants to win. Like, if the Giants want to win games, Daniel Jones is the option for now. That's it. Eventually, that's got to change if you want to really win, but he's the option now.
Yeah, I mean, over the two guys that they have. I mean, you're going extreme to the caller. You know, Gino, you're going extreme when you're saying to get Jones out of there because you want to win games with Drew Locke or Tom and DeVito. That's just absurd. Even I would acknowledge that Daniel Jones gives them the best chance to win football games. Jones is what he is to me, BT. He's a quarterback that they can win with. But you're seeing how the Giants and Dable are trying to do it. This is the same formula that they used in 2022. Shorten the game, drive the football, don't take any risks down the field, don't beat yourself with mistakes, take the points when they're there. The difference from 2022 to now is that they should have, well, they do have a better weapon in Malik Nabers, of course, who could change the game. But if a defense tries to take Nabers out of it, and you saw that last night where they did, but even with that, he's still going to gash you to a certain extent. But the Giants got to be able to finish the drives and score some touchdowns at some point, or the defense has to get better. But it's the same formula basically in 2022, and I think a lot of that is because of who the quarterback is.
There's no more guessing with Daniel Jones. He is what he is, and I think that Daniel Jones is the type of quarterback, and there's a real expiration point on this, and we're here for many Giant fans. Me too. I mean, I know that Daniel Jones is not going to be the long-term answer, but I do think he's better than maybe some people portray. But he's not the guy who's going to necessarily implode, you know, like a young Zach Wilson or the other Kelly, you know, the stiffs who just absolutely can't get it right. But he's really rarely going to elevate you to the point of victory against an average or a good team.
Yeah.
That's a tough spot to be, especially when you give him $40 million.
Yeah, I just don't think he's good. So
now, when you say he's not good, I get that.
Yeah.
Do you think he's bad?
I don't think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback.
I hear you, but do you think he's bad?
Well, I mean, if he's not good, what
Well,
is
if
he?
You're not good, you could be average. I mean, there's a tier, but, you know, if you're going, you're going great, you're going good, you're going average, you're going terrible.
Give me bad, like Zach Wilson bad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's bad. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence been pretty bad for a while now. You know, we know bad when we see it, and I watch Daniel Jones, and I know he's not bad.
Yeah.
But I also know he's not really good.
I would lean more bad than good.
That's weird. I would lean a tick the other direction. A tick.
I mean,
a tick.
He just misses some. I don't think he could read a defense the right way, and he's not an accurate passer. Those are my two biggest critiques of Jones. He can't read a defense and make the right decision, and he can't throw the ball with accuracy. But you can win some games with him. Anthony's calling from Lancaster, PA. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
Hello? What's up? Yeah, you called
hey,
us. Go
what's
ahead.
Going on?
How are you, Ant?
Well, previous caller, I think, hit the nail on the head, right? How many times are you going to stack the box and tackle somebody in the backfield and keep the defense honest? Where's the play action fake? Where's the bubble screens?
Well, I mean,
coordinator here, and thanks for the call.
Coach
I can't
Anthony,
do that.
Picking up the headsets here. I mean, play action fake only works once you establish the run.
Come on.
And it's the most basic concept in football.
Guys,
what are we doing?
I mean, I'm all for having
fun. Let's get the grease board, Sal.
Yeah.
Let's grease them up.
Draw up the X's and O's. Create a gap here. What's the old business? What are we doing here?
Giants should be doing is they really, I believe, you know, this is the bottom line for me. I believe that they should be celebrating a win if their receivers could catch.
I do.
Despite the other imperfections.
I was surprised that they did not run Jones as much. And also, Daboll said after the game, Jones made all the throws.
Threw
the ball. He's wrong. But he's not wrong. He knows more than anybody, but he's covering for his quarterback, which is fine because Jones wasn't awful. He didn't make mistakes. And kept him in the game to be able to win it. I was just surprised Jones didn't run it as much.
See, I didn't think he covered for him. I think there are times when, as Sava did this with Zach too often, it drove us nuts. I think when, because, and we'll play this for you later if you guys didn't catch it on the postgame show here on The Fan. Actually, we'll have that ready for you next segment. I want you guys to hear it. But Daboll, he went, you know, so deep where he's like, not just last night, the previous two games, he's playing really well. Like, I really believe, and I kind of agree with Daboll, at least so far, this season, you know, outside of the Vikings game, the last couple of games, Daniel Jones has been fine.
Mike is in suffering. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, boys?
How are you, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Listen, the thing on Jones real quick, because I want to talk about the running game, but, you know, I don't know what it is. It's almost like right now he's just got some sort of thing in his brain that he can't make the long throw, because look at the last couple of weeks, man. They could have run away last week with a good throw deep. Yesterday, a couple of openings he missed. But I think he's playing well enough. I just think my issue with last night is the running game. I mean, you got a team that got torched two games in a row. And I'm not saying you go out and run for 230 yards, but look at when they get near the goal line, right? They kick a field goal. They can't even gain a couple of yards. It's such a big deal to be able to run the ball for 3, 4, 5 yards close to the goal line.
Yeah.
That helps as well. So they're close. I know everybody's dire. The Giants are close. It's frustrating because
close to what? Mike, close to what? Close to what?
Well, close to being decent.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with that.
It could be 3-1, right?
Okay,
like,
I agree with that.
But they're not.
Right?
They're not. And that's kind of the point. Like, I get what you're saying, Mike, and thank you for the call. Like, here's the great news. Hey, the Giants aren't the worst team in football. Right? Like, maybe they're not going to win just 2 or 3 games all year long. I never felt like that was going to be the case anyway, but I don't think it's something that you should be proud of, saying like, hey, we're getting close to being decent. We're not the worst. That's not good enough. You've got to be significantly better than that. And by the way, can Singletary hold on to the damn ball?
Even when I know, when he went down, his knee was down.
He's fortunate there.
Oh,
the Giants have been very sloppy in that regard.
Well,
also, BT, their best... Like, in 2022, they didn't, even with Saquon Barkley, they didn't have a great running game. Their best running game was Daniel Jones running the football.
Yeah, he ran for 7 or 8 touchdowns. Yep.
It's a huge part of his strength.
Well, that's why you won there. I mean, even though he looks, you know, fairly mobile, and, you know, the last couple of weeks he's run a little bit here, but he's not running the way I thought that he would. So is it rust? Is it fear? Is it a lack of, has he lost a tenth or two on his 40? I don't know. But if he's not utilized the way he was in 2022, he's diminished as a quarterback, no question.
Frank, the chef from Rels.
Yeah.
Tell BT we save the wives for after the season. We talking football.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Boomer. Huh, Frank?
Frank, I should note, is divorced, I believe.
No, he doesn't have a girlfriend. Really? Sal has his way. We'll punt after basketball season, too. We'll be talking hoops. We'll get right back to the Masters, right to baseball. We'll never bring the wife. Hey, listen, I know that there's a level of expectation. It's not arrogance, but a level of expectation within the Yankee fan base. I hope the Yankee fan appreciates a divisional title. I know I do. You know, now, well, we're going to see what happens the rest of the way. But the Yankees have dealt with a ridiculous amount of circumstances this year that, I mean, they deserve some credit. I mean, Gerrit Cole misses 3 months. Aaron Judge was awful in April, and he was hurt in the spring. Dominguez gets hurt. You didn't know about the catchers. Obviously, you've had closer issues. You've had so many things you've had to navigate, and they have. And right here we are, Sal, going into the final three games of the season. Yankees with 93 wins, Guardians with 92. So that's the only thing that remains. You want to get home field advantage throughout the entire postseason. First round bye, check. Second round, best of five home at the state, check. That starts October 5th. Aaron Judge, red hot, five straight games with a bomb, check. Stanton heating up, check. And Gerrit Cole was really good last night. So this is not about absolutely winning the World Series. We'll see. But for me, this has been a fun season. I've really enjoyed it. And congrats to the Yankees. They look ready to maybe make some noise.
Cole, to me, was the most important thing last night in a night where they needed him to be a stopper here. Just get the celebration on. Let's go. Don't get swept by Baltimore and have it extend into the weekend. And he went out there and shut them down. Obviously, the offense did what they did. Loudest ovation of the night last night at MetLife was when they showed the Yankees on the scoreboard. They showed them on a big screen celebrating in the dugout. Yeah. The place went nuts, erupting. Look, it's a division title. That's the first goal. You want to have the division title. You hope to have a bye as well, so the Yankees accomplish all that. One quick thing, BT, before you get back to the calls. Brandon Cuddy of, I always forget what the hell he writes for here. I follow him on Twitter. For The Athletic now. Okay, good. For The Athletic, wrote a story about how Judge called a players-only meeting near the beginning of September in Texas. Now, it comes out now after they win the division. I don't know why that's the case, but it does correlate these meetings, right? The Mets meeting. But it does correlate with the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 in Texas. And part of the story is just saying, like, hey, don't worry about the outside noise. But that is when the turnaround really started to happen, taking 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, even though they didn't look good doing it.
Pitch well.
2 out of 3 from the Royals, same thing. Yep. And then they took off. 3 out of 4 from the Red Sox, taking care of the West Coast trip. And now, you know, I know they lost this series to the Orioles, but here we are, Yankees clinching. So maybe just a little anxious to clinch that. But the Yankees are division champs. Congratulations. And now the real fun begins and the real work begins.
And the pressure begins because as great as Aaron Judge has been, and this season has been, you know, all-time-ish, there's just no way around it, he's going to have to come up big. And, you know, if he does and Soto does and the other components of the team, you know, carry the mail the way they're paid to do, I mean, the Yankees have as great a chance as anybody. Fun season.
BT,
really fun.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Damon is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Damon?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was at the game last night, season ticket holder. I went into the game not thinking we would win. I was hoping, I just didn't want to get blown out. That was my major concern. I didn't leave the game upset. I wasn't upset or angry. I'm more angry today that Daniel Jones is getting the brunt of all of this. You can't run the ball for 24 yards. You cannot only you can't get one sack. Okay? I mean, it's receiver, catch the ball.
Which
I don't
one?
Care if it's thrown behind. Eli didn't make all the great throws. You know, people got on him. I listen. I'm just more mad today that everybody's all over Daniel Jones.
I don't think everybody's all over Daniel Jones, but he's a big part of the problem.
But Sal, let me ask you a question. Yeah. You're not going to take. You wouldn't take 29 of 40 for 280 every week. You wouldn't take that.
No. See, I think you're wrong, Damon. Looking at the numbers, how many of those were over 10 yards?
Well, but that's what the Giants do.
They okay, so no, I'm not taking. I wouldn't take it because it resulted in a loss. And thank you for the call. Don't get caught up in those numbers because they could be deceiving. Watch the game, and by the way, not even just watch the game. Sometimes it's best to watch some of the, you know, people on social media will post some films or some throw the overhead stuff.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is not making the right reads, and he's not throwing, like you could say, well, Eli was this or that. Yeah, Eli threw the football with extreme accuracy, especially down the field. That was a great strength of his. Jones can't do that early on. Instead of underthrowing a guy by 5 yards or missing a guy, if you complete that and throw it deep over his head where it should be, it could be a touchdown, change the entire game. Also, a part of the defense being able to focus on stuffing the runners because they know Daniel Jones can't beat them over the top. I thought Jones should have run the football more myself. We've talked about that, that BT, but I think Daniel Jones is, while he's not the problem, he's a big part of the problem.
Yeah, and listen, it's hard to separate, you know, Daniel Jones' role last night, although he did underthrow a couple, obviously, as we've hit, and how frustrating he's been to Giant fans over the years and the contract and all the narratives that come with Daniel Jones. Like, to me, if I didn't know anything about Daniel Jones and I'm living in Oklahoma, I don't even have a football team, and I'm just watching the game last night, and I didn't know about his contract and whatever, I'm not waking up today in Oklahoma saying that in terms of culpability, like the order of culpability, Daniel Jones is number one. He's not. To me, it's the run game. I don't even think that Brian Daboll's up there. I thought Brian Daboll, you know, if you just tuned in, me and Sal totally disagree. I had no issue. 14-9, 8 minutes to go, third quarter, low scoring game, points at a premium. Giants weren't going to win this one, 35-31, where you got to go for the seven, kick the three, be within two, you know, hold them to some points, which they only gave up six the rest of the way. You and I disagree philosophically. But what I don't get about you, and now I got to get on him, though, with these throws down the field. What I don't get, like, when an athlete has either the yips or, I don't think he's got the yips, he's just deficient throwing the ball down the field, or you can't do something well that most of your peers can. Usually, it's at least the way my mind works, it's more of a finesse thing. Like, if somebody, I'm going to give
he's
you an example.
He's got no touch.
I know. But
and he never
throwing,
has,
but throwing the ball downfield is two things. It's touch, but it's also zip. So his touch, like the arc is fine. The distance is awful. Like if somebody said to me, just, you know, the power of pressure and how it affects us, right? Do you ever play darts? You dart guy? You're not a big dart
player
guy.
I played it, but I'm not a big dart guy.
I love darts, right? Okay. So imagine you're in a bar and you have 3-4 beers in you. You're playing with your buddies, a couple of bucks or just for fun, and you're firing away. Now, all of a sudden, think about how you'd feel if you had a TV camera on you and 1,000 sets of eyes hovered around as you throw those darts. You might get a little tight, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a finesse thing. It's a finesse thing. To me, when it's an aggressive thing and it's like down the field and it's fast and it's hard and it's quick, you shouldn't spin yourself into in I don't know why he can't just step back and fire the freaking ball.
Yeah.
And if you overshoot it by 7 yards, you might get a PI. Well, you might make a sprawling catch. You're definitely not getting picked.
Well, to me, if you watched last week, he was overthrowing guys by 5 yards.
The one where you done, I think the first play of the game, yeah, first
a,
or second
there,
play.
There was a couple
did.
Of them. He's done that for a couple of weeks in a row here. I don't have the specific plays, but I just remember watching him in my mind's eye. He's overthrowing guys by several yards. Then last night, he's underthrowing. He just can't throw the deep ball with accuracy. And I don't think it's a lack of arm strength. I think he has that. He does not have the touch. That has been a problem here. I mean, he's part of the problem because you miss some of those. Or just like a drop, a key drop. That drop cost us. Yes, it did. But so did the misthrow, the underthrow, the overthrow. So did that. It's equally as bad.
Real fast. Reason number one, Giants lost last night. What is it?
I just don't think they're good enough. I don't think they have enough. Like that would, I mean, it's not a particular reason.
Okay.
It's just, I don't think they have the talent. If I'm looking at the game, the way it played out,
yep.
They were going to have to score at least a touchdown to beat the Cowboys. The best chance to score a touchdown.
Well, from 3 yards out.
3 yards out. You're right there, buddy. You're fourth and goal from the 3-yard line. Early third quarter. Punch the thing in. And if you don't deal with the rest of the game from there, where you have them pinned back. But you were going to need to score a touchdown at some point. That was your best chance. To me, once they decided to kick a field goal, I gave up hope that they would win that game.
I disagree. You know that. But I'm going to say they were just too one-dimensional. I mean, they just couldn't run the ball. And Daniel Jones, while I defend him a little, he's not anything much more than average. And when you know he's throwing 40 times, you're probably not going to do too well.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior Giants calls when we come back, 888-808-1019.